one in its grasp. Most of the stations would be like his, all but abandoned, except for a custodial crew finishing up research work the summer teams had left for them, as well as keeping the outpost from falling apart in the storms. Travis didn't mind spending the winter in Antarctica's deep freeze. Getting away from civilization made more sense to him. After Vietnam, he had little interest in going back home. He'd rather stay here, where there were no memories to dwell on. Silly, though. He still woke up at least once a week in a cold sweat with the sound of dream-conjured gunfire in his ears.
"What are you going to tell him?" he asked Wilson.
"That we're here to help. What else would I tell him?" Rick grunted.
"That we're the only ones crazy enough to respond to their mayday?"
"Some mayday," Travis said. "We got, what, 10 seconds of audio? And whoever sent it didn't exactly tell us why they were calling for help."
"And then radio silence since," Wilson said. "That's enough for me."
Travis imagined a helicopter landing and finding nothing but dead fins in the snow, or maybe a burned-out husk of a camp. But there was no black smoke in the sky, at least none he could see in the fading twilight. The sun had risen just over the horizon, lingered there for an hour, and then began its quick descent. The light it cast would soon be gone, leaving them once again under the thrall of night.
"Hey, Doc," Rick asked, "what if we need to evac more than a couple of them? We don't exactly have a lot of space back there."
Wilson nodded. "We do what we can." His flat monotone carried finality.
5 minutes or so. We should be able to see its light soon.
Wilson pointed out the canopy.
"Beyond that ridge?"
"Beyond that ridge," Rick agreed.
"When we get there, take a couple of flybys, see if we can get anyone to come outside."
"And if they don't?" Travis asked.
"Then we land and investigate."
The trio was quiet while the helicopter approached the large sheet of ice humped against the rocks and what might have once been a mountain. The sun had all but descended, leaving a wan glow in the sky. Travis shivered inside his 4 layers of clothing. The Hilo wasn't exactly airtight, and its heating system was little more than a joke. The wind howling through the sliding passenger door cut right through him. It hadn't bothered him until now, but he was still looking forward to finally getting out of this meat locker. Out on the ice, it was negative 20 degrees Fahrenheit with a minus 30 degree Fahrenheit wind chill. Assuming the Finn's camp hadn't burned down, even a somewhat airtight shelter would be much warmer inside. And if the place had burned down? They'd do a quick check for survivors and hightail it back to Outpost 13 before the chilly night dropped to negative 40. Travis hoped the camp was still intact. He wanted inside. Texas didn't exactly get these kinds of temps, and it had taken years for him to get used to anything approaching zero, let alone the mind-numbing cold of Antarctica. Both Wilson and Rick had grown up in northern states, and he imagined the cold didn't bother them as much. Now, for the first time since he'd come down here, he wondered if he'd made a mistake. The helicopter rose over the ridge, and a myriad of artificial lights glowed in the distance. Travis smiled.
"Looks like the camp is still there."
"Bigger than a camp," Rick replied. "Usually 60 people are there in the summer. That's a lot of building."
The Hilo continued on, and the dense array of lights slowly spread out. Swoja's station was much larger than Travis had imagined. It appeared to be a cluster of 4 different buildings. A large rectangular structure fronted it, while 2 other buildings branched off to the east and west, but there was another large structure on the southern side as well. As far as he could tell, all the buildings were connected. Rick brought the helicopter into a lazy turn, keeping about 200 feet from the buildings, and eased it down to 150 feet above the ground. Travis peered out the window, looking for figures on the ice or at least moving shadows, but there didn't appear to be anyone out there. He wasn't surprised. Who the hell wanted to be out there in the cold?
"Looks good to me," Rick said. "Probably warm in there, too."
Travis smiled.
"Let's hope."
"Do another flyby," Wilson said as though the two hadn't spoken. "Give them a chance to think about coming out."
"Aye, aye, Doc," Rick said.
Travis saw a snowcat as well as a helicopter resting on a helipad made of lashed-together logs. Neither appeared damaged, but it was impossible to tell in the near darkness. Swoja's radio tower blinked red every few seconds, although it rose a bare 10 feet above the buildings. As they circled for the second time, Travis saw someone pop out of the north entrance and walk to the helicopter pad.
"There's someone."
"Yeah," Wilson said. "Rick?"
"Where you want to land, Doc?"
Rick asked.
"Wherever is safe,"
Travis said, without waiting for the doctor's reply. For the first time since they boarded the Hilo, Wilson sounded as though he were smiling.
"What he said."
"Got it,"
Rick chuckled. Rather than landing near the helipad, which was less